Most of you don't know him, some of you do, but many of you do not know Brother Rick Rose. And I've asked him to come, and just ask the whatever the Lord's laid on his heart, introduce himself for starters, and to just let you get to know him a little bit tonight. Of course, I certainly hope you're warm and friendly to his family, as well as him. Met Brother Rose almost 15 years ago, and we preached together many times in the early years of my being on the road in evangelism. He'd already been on the road quite a few years at that point, and the Lord, as the time went on, we just kind of didn't cross paths unless we deliberately crossed paths. We had to make ourselves cross paths. But the last 3 years, the Lord has put us back together, laboring to get in ministry. Amen. And I don't have a lot of people, again, that I call friends, but Brother Rose has been a friend to me. His family's been a friend to me, to my wife. Amen. And I just asked him to come and just to share what the Lord's laid on his heart tonight. I told him, I said, now listen, don't start off preaching. If it turns into it, that'll be okay. Then we don't have to call a preacher. But I do want him to just come and just introduce himself, his family, and what the Lord's given him tonight.
Go ahead and have my family stand. We introduce you to my family, like Brother Evangelist has asked us to do. Okay, this is the Rose family, amen. My wife, obviously, is right here on my right that I'm pointing to there. Some people think that's my daughter, amen. She just married an old man, amen. That's my wife, Sister Rose. And then you have Bethany, which is my oldest, probably the shortest, but the oldest, amen. Grace is trying to join the Vernon family, amen. She's good friends with Sister Vernon, amen. That's
Oh,
I'm telling you, that's right. Rebecca is soon to be 16 next month. Samuel is my oldest boy. Then you've got Titus, Josiah. They look like twins. They're not, amen, a year and several months apart. And then David, amen, is the one that'll keep everybody entertained. But we're working on him, amen. And so the Lord's good to us. You can be seated. I appreciate my family. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Amen. It's a blessing to be here. Brother John, thank you for letting us come and be a part of this meeting. And that's what we want to do. We want to be a help and a blessing to this church. That's what the evangelist is supposed to be, a blessing and a help to this church. And it's a blessing to labor with the Lord's man here, Brother Tim, this week. And we trust that we can say something that'll be a help and a blessing to you. At the age of 19, I got born again. The Lord saved me by the good grace of God at the age of 19. And I was raised in a good Christian home. But you know, being raised in a good Christian home and having parents that know the Lord, amen, has nothing to do with your conversion. And unfortunately, amen, I began to follow the ways of the world. But thank God, I won't go into all that, Sister Brenda, but thank God, at the age of 19, I heard the gospel and God gave me understanding of the gospel. And that all comes by conviction. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And God began to open my eyes to my need for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got saved up north, actually. The Lord saved me up north. By the grace of God, amen. And God changed my life. And that's what he does for everybody that he saves. Amen.
Amen.
I have no confidence in anybody. I'm talking about according to the Bible. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I have no confidence, Peter, in a person that says they're saved by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit doesn't convict them, God doesn't change them, and the Lord Jesus Christ chastised them. If you can live in sin, and 1 John backs it up, amen, then you're of the devil. Welcome everybody to church. That's just what it says, amen. But God saved me by the grace of God, young man, and God put me on a narrow way. And that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved me by the grace of God. He changed my life, gave me new desires, gave me a new direction, gave me a new diet from the Word of God. I began to eat the Word of God. Amen. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. That King James Bible become a constant companion, not just to read, but God began putting it in my heart. Amen. By the grace of God. And I guess it should testify for us. Sit down. Amen. 10 months after the Lord saved me, God dealt with me about preaching. Now, my family, listen to me now, my family's not full of preachers. I have no heritage of that, of pastors and preachers and evangelists. A lot of bootleggers, a lot of drunkards, a lot of fornicators, but not many preachers. There's only one preacher on mom's side of the family outside of me in the whole Rose or Boyles family. Amen. And God, in His sovereign mercy, amen, chose me to preach His wonderful word. Brother John, what an honor. I am so humbled that God would let me use, listen, what abilities I do have to preach the word of God.
Yes.
And I say this, the preaching of the cross in life. Hallelujah, we need to move that somewhere. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, some of you will probably this week get entertained by the likes of me and Brother David. We're a little different, but I didn't come up here, listen, to be somebody else.
That's right.
And I didn't come to preach for you. I want to preach to you and give you God's message. And I trust God will help us. You know, but one thing about it, as I close, we may never have another opportunity to hear another
message.
Right.
That's right.
You better pay attention to what the man of God has to say tonight. It may be the last message you hear before you go out into eternity.
Come on.
We may never have a morning session. May have a morning message or messages. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away.
That's right.
And you better pay attention and give heed to the word of God.
Right.
The most valuable thing you have in your possession is not what lies in your wallet. It's your soul.
Right.
And what shall man give in exchange for his soul? You better make sure you're right with God.
Yes, sir.
Luke chapter 19.
Help me, Jesus. Amen.
You can rest assured this. The story I'm about to read, although it's fine Sunday school literature, it's not just a Sunday school lesson.
That's right.
It's the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
Help me.
It's not a doctrine. It's not a parable. It's a person.
Yes, sir.
The Word of God is replete with stories of real people.
Right.
They're in samples for us. There's a man, the Bible tells us in Luke 19, his name was Zacchaeus.
Yeah.
In verse 2 of our text, that he was the chief among the publicans, and notice this, he was rich.
That's it.
But I want you to understand that several chapters prior to this, we read of another rich man.
Yeah.
But he was no Zacchaeus, for he's in hell. Zacchaeus was in the living. That means he had opportunity. If you're amongst the living, you have opportunity.
That's right.
The Word of God says Jesus entered and passing through Jericho, and behold, I mean, sit up, notice this, take notice.
Yeah.
There was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans and was rich. And I want some of you to listen closely. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was.
Right.
His ear had heard. He had heard of this man, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It had reached into the homes of the rich. It had reached into the homes of the poor alike. And this rich man sought to see Jesus. But he could not for the press because he was little of stature.
Yeah.
Now I want you to notice this. Your stature, whether it be physically, whether it be positionally, has no bearing on your eternal destiny.
Right.
He's a rich man. There was little of stature. He could not see because of the press. But again, it's not cliche to say, but he went the extra mile to find Jesus. The word of God said he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. For he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. And here's the message tonight. And come.
Amen.
Down.
Good.
It's directional. It's pointed.
Yeah.
And it's the call of God. Come.
Amen.
Zacchaeus, make haste and come down.
Right.
Zacchaeus, what choices do you have? I can stay where I am or I can come to him. I can live in the riches of my life or I can come to Jesus Christ.
Kill it.
And he said, for today I must abide at thy house. He's put him in a place where he must make a choice.
Right.
Jesus can abide in his house, or he can see him for who he was and reject him. It was the word of God said, and he made haste. He didn't tarry. He didn't dilly-dally, he didn't dawdle.
Amen.
He made haste. And he obeyed the voice of God. The word of God simply said, and came down and received him joyfully.
Right. Okay.
To as many as received him, I talked about that last night. What happened to them? Gave he power to become the sons of God.
Amen.
He received him. That's not a doctrine. It's personal. Now, I know some would choke at that and say, well, there must be more to it than that. But I want you to understand, later on in this text, we'll see when he received him, he got him.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. When he made the choice, he received Jesus Christ. And his brother Rose has exhorted us to righteousness, everything changed.
Amen.
His status as a publican meant nothing. His riches meant nothing to him. He was willing to restitute. Why? Because when he came to Jesus Christ, he made haste to come. And received him. And then, when they saw it, they all murmured. Yeah. Reminiscent of our Sunday afternoon message. That murmuring across the congregation. Murmuring against God. Fault finding against God. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God in flesh. And they murmured and saved. That he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. One man in a tree, singled out of the whole crowd. Why? Because he came to see Jesus for who he was.
Right.
And he singled out of the tree. And he makes haste and he comes to Jesus Christ. At his voice. At his bidding. The word of God said this. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor.
Yeah.
And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. You remember that day?
Yeah. Oh, amen.
I remember that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Salvation came to this house.
Hallelujah.
And this house changed.
God.
And this house became a residence of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Again, I'm not bitter about it, I'm not angry. This man has passed away since, but a couple years ago in preaching, I was rebuked for talking about how I knew my wife moved in. The man got up and mocked that the next night. He made a statement. He said, "I hear all this preaching about how you know Jesus Christ moves in, and compared to how you know your wife moves in." And he goes, "It's not like that." And he made light of that. But can I tell you, when Jesus Christ moved into my house, I knew it as much as I knew my wife had come into my house. When God moved in, it was a change and it was a difference in my life.
Preach.
Amen.
Everybody.
Well, since you asked, we'll go ahead.
Preach.
How'd you know my wife moved in? Well, let's start with this. The house was a whole lot cleaner.
Come on!
Yeah.
Yeah,
how do you know Jesus Christ moved in? The house is a whole lot cleaner.
Amen.
Amen. The decor changed. Hey, help me out. The clothing changed.
Yeah.
Amen.
I used to be able to pack on a trip in half a suitcase. The clothing changed. Are you listening?
Yeah.
People say, "How do these people live in vans? Look at what they wear." Nothing. It's easy to live in a van when you own one pair of shorts and two wife beaters. The clothing changed. Everything changed. Brother Rose said, "My diet changed." Hey, my friends even changed. Some of them didn't like my wife. Found out they weren't really my friends, because a friend loveth at all times.
Amen.
That's how you know who your friends are. You go to the storm, you find out who your friends are.
Yeah.
Everything changed. Salvation has come to thy house. Everything's going to change.
Amen.
What a difference it was for Zacchaeus.
Yes, sir.
And he said, "For so much as he also is a son of Abraham." And then he said this, just in case it was happenstance, or you think maybe it was just, you know, by chance that Jesus passed by, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost."
Amen.
And there's Zacchaeus in that sycamore tree, coming to see who Jesus was. Well, why do you suppose he was coming to see who Jesus was? Because the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
He left the fold of the 99 and he went and found that lost sheep. He came to seek him. But to seek him, and then he found him, and then he gave him one command. Come.
That's right.
That's the call. That's the cry. Is come. He received him joyfully. The half of his goods he gave. Let's go to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. in verse 20. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Some of you have asked that question. What lack I yet?
Yes, sir.
I've done everything I can do. I've exhausted all my abilities. There's nothing more I can do. And by the way, that's a good place to be.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Because it's not works of righteousness which we have done.
That's it.
But it is his mercy.
Yes. That's the truth.
What can I do? Come. This is what Jesus told him. He said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Mark 10, I'll read that passage as well. There's a slight variance here I want us to see in this. In verse 20, he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. That scripture that is able to make thee wise unto salvation, I've observed from my youth. Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. There's one thing missing.
Yeah.
There's just one thing. What did Zacchaeus say? I give my goods to the poor. I'm not in this for money. I'm not in this for gain. I give half my goods to the poor. If I've stolen from any man a deceit, I'll restore him fourfold. Jesus said, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come. And come. And come. Take up thy cross and follow me. What is he telling this young man? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The covetousness, the lust. He's in it for money. That's what's keeping him from coming to Jesus Christ. Go sell all that. You'll have treasure in heaven.
Yeah.
Come and follow me. But again, the scripture tells us he was sad at that saying.
Yes, he was.
He went away grieved, for he had great possessions. But again, in Luke 19, we see a man who was rich. We see a man who was a chief of the publicans. But Jesus said, come, and he came.
Listen.
What's the difference between the two men, if you will? Their will. You see, we talked last night, preached on he is not willing. That's the will of God. That any should perish,
yeah.
But that all should come to repentance. Why won't men come? They're not willing.
Amen.
I hear a lot of excuses, a lot of reasons, a lot of intellectual assent, but they're not willing. Why? Because the call has gone out to come.
Right.
But the Haynes said last night, and said it in the unction of God, the power, the Holy Ghost.
Right.
He said, what more do we need?
Right.
I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to come.
That's right. It's good.
That's right.
We don't need more head knowledge. We don't need more books. We don't need higher learning. We need to come with the knowledge we have.
Right.
That knowledge that is able to make us wise unto salvation.
Yeah.
The Word of God. I've had men of great intellect. I've had where they could dispute with me on antiquities and archaeologies and all the things that they teach you in higher learning in religious areas and religious training centers, and they'll dispute over eschatology and entomology and biology and cardiology, and they'll dispute all of those things. When it comes down to the matter of salvation, I've often seen the blank look on their face that they themselves have no idea what the Word of God says. I've been on the streets with the homeless and had them stand in my face and tell me their version of what God is and what their version of the Bible says and what they think I need to understand from the Word of God. And it's not that I'm arrogant. It's not that I'm puffed up with pride and I stand against them because of my status or my position or my place in life, but rather I stand against them with the Word of God because they're in error and falsehoods and the predicament they're in. They cannot see the predicament they're in. Why? Their eyes are blinded. They're bums on the street. But they know what's really wrong.
That's right.
They can't fix it. But they know what's wrong. But they don't even know why they're on the street. And then I hear people in religion telling me what's really wrong. But they have no idea how to fix it.
Amen.
I'll tell you what fixes it all. Come.
Hear it. Help me,
Jesus. It fixes everything. We're not going to find God intellectually. Although, as your pastor says, you don't have to block your intellect to believe God.
Right.
You don't have to just shut up your mind to believe God. But it's a matter of faith.
Man.
He that cometh to God must. He that, notice that, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Why did that young man refuse to come? Because he had great riches and he didn't believe the reward that God offered him, treasures in heaven. He didn't believe that God would do what he said he would do. He didn't believe that Jesus Christ had power to do what he said he would do. He did not believe, and he walked away in hardness of heart in unbelief.
Amen.
It was very sad because he didn't believe God could give back what he thought he would lose. I'll lose everything. It was a man small of stature. When Jesus Christ looked up into that tree, said, "Make haste, come down." He made haste, and he came down. He considered his riches, but he wasn't there to consider his riches. He was there to see who Jesus Christ was. We are rich with this world's good.
You're right.
And it has blinded us to the reality of the plight of our own damnation. But could I say, if we lived in a third world country in a grass hut filled with roaches and rats, we still would not see, because it's a matter of faith. People think if somehow we were in poverty, oh, we just see all these people saved. If we just had poverty, we see all these people saved. No, we don't see people saved because they will not come.
Amen.
Let's look at a few texts with the Lord's help. First one says Jesus came to where he was.
Praise God.
He came to seek and to save. That's a divine appointment, to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus Christ was seeking, meant to save. And can I say that's never changed? Jesus Christ is still seeking sinners.
Amen.
The problem is today a lot of sinners aren't seeking him.
Correct.
He's come to seek and to save. Men will not seek him. In fact, I've heard it preached that it's damnable to tell men to seek God today. As though they're just going to drift around in life and all of a sudden, whammo, God's going to slam them in the head and miraculously save them. I've actually heard that preached. That's a damnable heresy to tell men to seek God. But he said he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
Right. Are you really seeking? Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
He's come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Yes, sir.
But are you really seeking? Are you seeking experience? Or are you seeking him?
Right.
Are you seeking flashing lights? Or you're seeking him. Are you seeking something extraordinary out of the ordinary? Or are you seeking him, the person of Jesus Christ? Zacchaeus came to see who he was.
That's right.
He wasn't looking for anything else but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what he was looking for. Where today, when men are seeking experiences and seeking emotion and seeking events and seeking all of these things, but they're not seeking Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, and who he is. If we went around this room and asked people who Jesus was, we'd probably marvel at the dozens, if not 40, 50 differences in opinion of who Jesus Christ is. Some, he's still that little bronze idol that sits upon the throne of your heart, that there's a little door that opens and closes, and there's this little bronze idol that sits in there. Some, he's still the long-haired, well, anyway, the long-haired guy that hangs on the pictures. To some, he's indifferent. To some, he's not God. To some, he's just another person. To some, they have no idea who Jesus Christ is, and yet they won't seek out Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Zacchaeus was coming looking for him.
Amen.
But he didn't know that Jesus Christ came looking for him. He came to seek and to save that which was lost.
That's right.
Zacchaeus came as a little child. I want you to notice in Matthew 18. He came to seek as a little child. What does a little child do? A little child would climb a tree. A little child would try to get above the crowd. A child would do whatever he could to see the objective of his appointment. My little son doesn't talk very well, but what does he do? He throws his arms up. Daddy, up. He goes, up, up. Why? He wants to see. Liliana will say, Daddy, pick me up. I want to see. Like a child, Zacchaeus comes, and like a child who can't see because of the press, the crowd, he comes to the place where Jesus is going to pass by, and he climbs up in a sycamore tree. I preached in the Philippines in a village north of Luwag in the mountains, a communist-controlled area. And we went and preached in a bamboo hut of a church, and when they found out a big white guy was coming, 300 Filipinos packed the little courtyard in the center of town to hear a big white man. It's a communist guerrilla in a tree with a machine gun watching over the proceedings. He was the only one in the tree. But all around the perimeter, there's children in trees. Every mango tree was filled with children. The bushes were filled with children. Why? Clamoring to see the big goofy white guy. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 18. He said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. He goes on, he says over in the book of Matthew chapter 19 in verse 14, but Jesus said, Suffer little children to forbid them not to what? Come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. What is that call? Come. What is the universal signal between a parent and a child? It's come. That's not complex. That's not difficult. The simplicity of simply extending hands and saying, come.
Good,
that's the only word that's needed. As a little child would come. You know what my children do? They make haste and they come. They make haste to come. What does that mean? They run. Why? Because Daddy said, come. Sometimes I don't even have to say it, just hold out my hands. And they run. I've seen jealousy in those children over who comes first. I see them pushing and shoving to get there first. I've picked up one and the other one's in my pant leg, tugging and tugging. And little boy usually is late, so he's saying, up, up. And I have to pick both of them. Why? Because when I said, come, you know what they did? As little children, they came.
Right.
No guile, no confusion, no bitterness. But if I stood here tonight as a mere man, and I looked at you and said, come, some of you would look around to see who's watching. Before you'd make a determination to come. Some of you would look to see if your parents are looking before you'd come. Some would be embarrassed because your friends are here. And you won't come. Some would be humiliated because your spouse is here and you won't come. So when Jesus Christ says, come unto me all ye. Come unto me all ye. Come unto me.
Hear it.
You know what children do? They run. They make haste. They get to where he is. You come as little children, some of the little children, to come unto me. For such is the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
You know why men won't come? Who they're around. Jesus says, come, and they look around to see who's watching. They say, come, and they look to see if their spouse notices. They say, come, and they look to see if mom and dad notice. He says, come, and they look around and say, I've already done that, and people know I've already done that. Listen, I prayed the prayer 10 times, and they know I prayed the prayer. What will they think? And they don't consider the call is come.
I see it. All right.
They're ashamed. And whoso believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Yet he still stands with outstretched arms saying, come.
Right.
Children make haste. Children climb trees. But children also have no guile. Children have no pride.
Come on.
Children don't worry about what other people think.
Amen.
But we do.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Right.
We're so concerned about what our neighbors think and our friends think and our family thinks when the call to come is offered. We're ashamed. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save. That was his lost.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
We talked last night, his long suffering to us. Word.
Yes, he is.
Long suffering to us. Word.
Yes.
He stood for 2,000 years saying, come. Men have mocked him, men have cursed him, men have blasphemed his name. But I say just as many have simply rejected him and refused to come. Because they don't want to humble themselves as a little child. But such is the kingdom of heaven. Why is it so hard to come to him? Can I speak on personal experience when I say this? He was holy. And I was vile. And though I never left my car, I never pulled over. When I got saved in my car driving up Interstate 81, I crawled to it, to where he was. And I laid at his feet, vile, filthy, wretched. But what did he say to good old Zacchaeus? Salvation has come to thy house.
That's right. Praise God.
Zacchaeus, did you ever regret coming? Zacchaeus, did you ever stop and think of the shame and the reproach? And did you ever stop and think that your friends were watching and the other publicans were watching and they murmured against Zacchaeus? They murmured against Jesus Christ. This man dined with sinners. No, it didn't really bother me. Because salvation came to my house.
Amen.
I didn't really bother me at all. They murmured. And, hey, listen, there's people that made fun of me and mocked me. And, hey, listen, they've cursed me and they've laughed at me and they've called me church boy and they've called me preacher boy. They've called me the preacher man. They've called me religious man. Hey, they've mocked and they scoffed, but salvation has come to my house.
Amen.
That one word, come.
It's good. Thank God for this. Amen.
Verse 8, Zacchaeus denied himself. Let's go to Matthew 16. So give half my goods to the poor. Chapter 16 of the book of Matthew in verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, if there's the will of man, if any man will come.
Come on.
It's his choice.
That's right.
Let him deny himself. What does that mean? I don't care who's watching. I don't care who's looking. I don't care what it costs me. I don't care if I have to get fired. I don't care if they kick me out of the military. I don't care if my wife leaves me. I don't care if my husband leaves me. I don't care if my children spit on my grave. I don't care if I lose my inheritance. If any man will come, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's where your will is. For where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. What is that one thing that just nips constantly? I think we'd be shocked how many young people resist the Holy Ghost because they know they couldn't marry the person they want to marry.
Yeah.
Let him deny himself. You're better off a eunuch than you are dying and going to hell.
Right.
You're better off a lonely old man than dying and going to hell. You're better off an old maid, young ladies, than dying in your sin and going to hell because you made a choice.
See it?
And I believe that choice is far more than any of us even want to think.
Sure.
Dreams, plans, ideals. And when I surrendered to preach this true story, the roads I surrendered in February of 2001 to preach, I was in no fit condition to preach, but the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So what was God's obligation? People say, God's not going to call an unclean vessel. No, God cleans up an unclean vessel. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance, and it hurt. And it still hurts. And it's hurting today. Amen and amen. God deals with his children. God chastens his children.
Right, preacher.
I found out real quick I was going to preach. God's going to make me preach, but God's also going to clean me up to preach.
Amen.
When getting away, being slack and lazy and slothful and indifferent. No, I wasn't going to fly.
That's right.
When I surrendered to preach, Dr. Bob Gray from Jacksonville, Florida, I'm not ashamed to say that name,
right,
had preached. And I stood there in the pew, 2,500 people in that country church outside of Winston-Salem. Man of God got in the pulpit and he said, I believe there's somebody here that God is calling to preach and you'd better surrender while you can.
Amen.
And I didn't miss a beat. I stepped out and walked that long, long aisle by myself in front of 2,500 people weeping like a baby. I just got a pay raise. I was making more money than I'd ever made. You know the first thing I told my pastor when I got back to the pew? I guess now I'll be poor. And he said, oh, it won't be that bad. Wink, wink. Amen. Wink, wink. But there's riches you can't see.
That's right.
There's treasures you can't know till you know him. It's not in monetary value. It's not in monetary gain. It's not the treasures of this earth. It's not in gold and silver. But it's in that pearl of great price.
Amen.
And how precious and how marvelous it is.
Yeah, man.
You take up your cross and follow him.
Thank God.
And make him become fishers of men. But to do that, when he told them, come. Come. Come and follow me. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? But you've labored in the sea, you've labored over the nets, you've labored over the boats. You train your whole life as a fisherman. And a man walks by, looks at you, and says, come and follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And they said, goodbye, Zebedee. I'm following Jesus. Is that flippant? It's a choice. Is that indifferent? No, it's a choice. I'll follow him. That's the voice of God. That's my Lord. That's my Savior. I want to make this real clear. They weren't spiritual when they made the decision. That's why they're arguing about who's going to sit on his right hand, who's going to sit on his left. That's why they're disputing with men without the power of God in their lives. That's why they lacked understanding. They weren't spiritual. And you're not spiritual either. But all they did was follow.
Man.
You don't have to be smart. You don't have to be educated.
Right.
You don't have to be intellectual. You don't have to be good looking. Mm-hmm. What you got to do, you got to come.
Amen. I tried.
You got to come. We're in Oxford, North Carolina, some dozen years ago. It'd been 3 or 4 weeks of revival swung by, and when the Newton said, I want you to come preach next week. People were tired. I mean, wore to the bone. It was, I think our fourth week was that week I was there. It was a family that Brother Newton had invested in that family, and many of them had gotten saved. A couple of them were still in the church that are living. We got one brother, Jerry Wayne, still lost. They pray for him every church service for Jerry Wayne. Brother Grover went to be with the Lord 2 years ago. Brother Donald, probably soon on his way to check out. His wife Dawn is of the family. She almost died during COVID. Sister Stella's had bouts with cancer the last couple of years. Sister Sue went to be with the Lord. They had a brother James. He couldn't understand much of what James said. And I'm saying this with all love and all kindness in my heart. James didn't have the intellect. He didn't have the abilities really to go get a good job. He could sweep floors and empty the trash, and he didn't have much beyond that. And old James would be the first one to greet me at the door, and he'd say, "I love you, Brother Tim." He'd grab my neck. "I love you, Brother Tim," and he'd try to pick me up. "I love you, Brother Tim." And I'd say, "I love you too, Brother James." Brother James would go out, give out tracts, knock on doors. He'd go tell people, "Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you." Hand him a tract, invite him to the house. Never had the intellect, never had the smarts, never had the brains that some people have. But Brother Newton told me of the Saturday or the Sunday night sitting in the house of God. He preached his mama's funeral. And James had been coming for several weeks sitting off on the side in the house of God. And he said all of a sudden, James jumped up in the pew, raised his hands up into heaven, and just went, "Woo, woo, woo, woo." Brother Newton said he went out and talked to him. He said, "James, you know," he said, "I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved." And listen, Brother James would be sitting in the house of God. You'd be preaching, and he'd be over his sister Sue. He's on the oxygen. She'd pull the oxygen out of her nose and go, "Woo, woo." James would sit over there and go, "I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved." Old James jumped up on a Sunday, Tuesday after Tuesday night, Wednesday night, something like that. In that fourth week of meetings, took a lap around the church, Brother Dale. I said, took a lap around the church, hands raised in the air, just going, "Woo, woo, woo." He didn't have a mind. He didn't have the intellect. He didn't need the intellect. All he had to do was respond to one word.
Amen.
Come. And you'd scoff at him, wouldn't you?
That's right, brother.
Mo!
Yes, sir. That's exactly
well, you'd mock him, wouldn't you?
Sure.
That's why he didn't come to call the righteous. Who do you think sinners are?
That's right. Yeah.
What do you think sinners do? Help me out. Come on, say, "That's right." Say it again. "That's right." Say, "That's right." Amen. Amen. Son, you help me out. Heard you back. Amen. Amen. He said, "Jesus, let me get his dad." Shocked. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen. You don't have to prompt my children. They'll be sitting living on the couch. A little song we play on the Bluetooth speaker. Liliana go, "Come on, Bobby. Shout the glory, Bobby. Shout." He'll go, "Amen. Amen. Amen." You say, "Well, they learned that from you." Well, where did you learn this? He denied himself. Took up his cross and followed Jesus. I'm just going to gloss this, but you realize when Jesus Christ spake to the devils, unclean spirits, you know what word they responded to? Come. Come out. You know why they believed the trumpet?
Wow. Amen.
They knew he was Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Now, don't let this blow your mind. It's not real deep, John. It's about first grade education level. They didn't have a will in it. You show me the devils have a will in that. Come out of here. We have a will. That's why we can't come.
Oh, come on now. Tell it.
Devils didn't have a choice. They're going to come out. But God has given us that will. And more than anything else in this world, he wants that will to be for him. He didn't give it to you to die and go to hell.
That's right.
Yeah.
He gave it to you that you might come, take up your cross, and follow him. That's why he gave you a will. If any man will, you talk about a statement. If, there's the choice. Any whosoever will. Man, that's all of mankind. Will, that's the choice.
Right. Good, brother.
If any man will, what?
Come.
After me.
Amen.
What is if? Will he won't?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where does that indict God? Where does that indict God with being unjust? Where does that indict God with, oh, he's just not dealing with me, he's not speaking to me, he's not drawing me? Where does that indict God? If any man will. Come after me. Again, life lessons later in life, but life lessons for me. If I say come and walk out the door, you know what I've learned? I got two children coming where? After me. I say, Bubby, come. And I'll run from him. Now, let this help you. He doesn't stop till he gets me.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Why? He's coming as a little child. He's coming as a little child. That's why. God's so far away from me. Close the gap. I feel like God's so distant. Go find him. People say, I feel like God doesn't hear me. Talk louder. You know what a lost man does in the woods? Depends on how lost he is. Is he frantic? Does he want help? No, he's trying to figure it all out. Well, I remember this tree here. They all look so alike. I remember this tree here, and I think I came this way last night. Yeah, there's that moss. Yeah, I know where I'm at. Circles, circles, circles. One thing they taught us in survival training, you will walk in circles. That's literal. Most people, several hundred yards of where they got lost, they never make it out of the several hundred yards. You know why? They're too afraid to go in one direction. So they just double back. They circle back. How lost are you? Are you good and lost? Are you just partially lost?
No.
You light a signal fire? Blowing a whistle, screaming the top of your lungs? Burning the forest down? You're just sitting by a stream drinking water waiting for somebody to help. How lost are you? Son of man has come to seek and to save that which is lost.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Sir, are you lost? Oh, pride. Oh, no, I'm okay. I'm good. As soon as they walk away, they follow. Not lost anymore. You've been lost. I talk about Miss Hope down in West Virginia, in Elmira, West Virginia. Talk about Miss Hope down there. Listen, her little girl went hiking the Smoky Mountains, turned a corner on the trail in front of them. They never saw her again. You know what? She's real lost. That was some 40 years ago. If Miss Hope's still alive, she's still sad. Every time you hear about heaven, Miss Hope's a shout. You know why? Her daughter was good and lost. They never found her. We use that term. Have you ever actually been lost?
That's good.
You're pretty frantic when you're lost.
That's right, sir.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to glorify Gore or anything like that. I read the book that man wrote that had to cut his hand off with a penknife because he was going to perish. That rock fell on him and that narrows in the gorge where nobody comes. He was on a single solo expedition. That rock fell and pinned his arm. For several weeks, he was able to drink a little bit of water, but he realized, listen, I'm going to perish here. While I have strength, I have one choice. that are in your life, halt and maimed. The burning hellfire. Mm-hmm. You took out his pen knife. You ever been that lost?
Yeah, brother.
He cut his own arm off, just above the wrist. He doesn't make him a man. He was just lost. He had no hope. You know what his hope resided in? A knife. But can I say to you, you don't have to brutalize yourself. You don't have to maim yourself. We don't flagellate. We don't have a false hope. We have a person. His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
John 7:37. Now, last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come where? Unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Matthew 11:28, it's come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus put those fish on that seashore. What did he say to his disciples? Very simple. Come and die.
Amen.
Come and die. The old songwriter, by the way, one of those great songs of the faith. Jesus had the table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people. Come and die.
Amen.
Spirit and the bride say come. That's the call.
Heaven, that's right.
Come. You take up the cross. Sell all your goods. Is it works of righteousness? No. It's none of those things. It's in believing that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And when he says, come, you make haste and you come. I've said many, many times in my life, I was searching for something. I was becoming religious. I knew this life wasn't what it ought to be. And I didn't know what it was. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save. And he revealed himself to me on that glorious day. And he said, come. I've been following him ever since. Not because of who I am, because of who he is. He's worthy to be followed. He's worthy to be exalted.
Amen.
Now, I want to say something. I know I've done no justice to these words tonight. I know that. But they're his words.
Amen.
And he'll do justice to them.
Amen.
But he'll also judge by them. Yes. People say, I never had a chance. No, you had every chance in the world because he said, come.
That's right, yeah. Amen.
I never knew. No, you knew you wouldn't come.
Right.
Many shall say in that day. Many shall say in that day. Well, they're not prophesying thy name. Do many wonderful works. You never came. You never made haste to come. I didn't come to your house. Depart from me. I never knew you. Zacchaeus, I knew. But I never knew you. Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down. Pastor Hayden.
Page 127, please.